I'm Carol Hills, and you're tuned to The World. The city of Paris seemed far removed from the war on terror until 2015. That's when gunmen attacked the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. Then a few months later came the coordinated assaults at the Bataclan Theater and various Paris cafes and restaurants. The brutal attacks left lives shattered and many Parisians' core beliefs shaken. New Yorker writer Wendell Stevenson was based in Paris at the time. She set out to write a nonfiction book that would come to grips with the meaning of it all.
I kept waking up at kind of 4 a.m. with this thought, this itch. I was like, this is bigger somehow. This is not one incident. This is a bigger story. This is a bigger confrontation and a bigger seismic social event.
So Stevenson decided a novel would be better suited to tell the story. Her main character is a war correspondent, Catherine Kit Kittredge.
At the beginning of the book, when we first meet her in Baghdad in 2003, in the aftermath of the American invasion, she's really earnest. Not naive, but she is hoping to describe the other, describe the experience of Iraqis in a way that's human and real and can connect them as people to her readers in an American newspaper. And then by the time we meet up with her again in Paris, and she is really confronted with the very personal consequences of violence and terrorism when she loses a very close friend in the Charlie Hebdo attacks, you see her shift, and she kind of tips over the edge, and she really questions herself and her worldview, and she's angry. She looks for somebody to blame, and her question is, you know, why should I be tolerant of people who are not tolerant of me?
And Paris had always been the safe spot where the violence and turbulence of the things she was reporting on never encroached. And so suddenly that's being challenged.
Yeah. And I think it's something that, you know, in Europe and certainly in Boston, you have experience, and in the States, everybody, and all over the world, you have experience of being in a place that seems sort of relatively peaceful. And when this kind of violence erupts and it's sudden and shocking and out of nowhere and seems to target innocent people running a marathon, sitting outside, having a drink with friends on a Friday night. It really feels like, you know, you're under attack for just the way you're living your life and going around about your business. And it's very disquieting. It's very unnerving, I think.
You'd originally planned to write a nonfiction book about the 2015 attack on Charlie Hebdo. How come you decided to do fiction instead?
It was difficult to report it, and I was finding myself having sort of misgivings about prodding and asking for the victims and the people who had been caught up in those attacks to talk to me. You know, they were clearly traumatized and inundated and beset, and it felt awkward and intrusive.
I want to get back to the story in the novel. Kit, the journalist, she marries an Iraqi. They eventually get divorced, but she ends up raising his son. Give us the little thumbnail sketch and tell us a little bit about little Ahmed, the son.
Little Ahmed is really the beating heart and the moral center of the book. And when we first meet him, he's 4 years old and his mother has just been killed in violence in Baghdad. We don't really know who's responsible. She was caught in gunfire. And he is right from the very first time that Kit meets him himself. He is not, as she says, slightly rolling her eyes as his mother, biddable. He wants to draw. He doesn't want to play football. He has a sort of clarion sense of himself. And as he is growing up in France as an Iraqi Arab Muslim boy with a Anglo-American mother and a eventually absent father, he's trying to find his way and his identity and his place between these two worlds. And you see Kit, you know, struggling to help him figure that out too.
Kit also tries to use sort of journalistic training in some ways with little Ahmed in terms of being, you know, dispassionate, let's be three-dimensional. We're going to be in a multicultural world, but you're sort of challenged by that.
She wants to give him all the information. So she resists, but then accedes to let him go to a Quran school that his mother's family had wanted him to go and learn. And then she feels he comes back with sort of questions about that and questions about justice and jurisprudence and how does that work in the context of the French state. And she has to kind of navigate those questions while being respectful to one set of the arguments. And so I think you see her, like a lot of us, trying to kind of navigate a multicultural space and help him figure out who he is.
And of course, after the attacks in Paris in 2015, Kit and her son, they begin to question whether they can even trust each other. At one point, Kit, the character, says, All this time, I feel as if I've been earnestly trying to understand the other, trying very hard to see the world as a universal humanity. But all that time, I was just pretending there wasn't a difference, when there is. What's happening there?
She's angry, she's in grief, and she's beginning to question these kind of tenets of, you know, liberal values of, you know, multicultural, everything is equal, everything, you know, should be respected and so forth.
It's interesting. You said one of the reasons you didn't do the nonfiction treatment of the attacks on Charlie Hebdo was that you just didn't want to talk to the victims. You just didn't want to get that intimate about something so awful.
I found myself just sort of dragging my heels, you know, and being reluctant to do that, yeah.
I wonder if that had to do with the fact that this was on familiar turf. It was on a homey, supposed to be safe turf, and that when you're reporting in other places, you are reporting on people you don't know as well.
I think it's less that you don't know them, but more that in the case of this attack and in the case of many attacks, when they happen in America or Europe or in a Western country, there's a lot of coverage. These stories are known. They're not unknown. There's too much coverage. It's almost intrusive. I found that when I was in Iraq or in Syria or in Lebanon, people wanted to tell their story because they wanted it to be understood what had happened here. There was an element of witness. So I, even though I found it often excruciatingly intrusive to be in a hospital room, for example, with people who have just been wounded in an attack and their relatives are there and wailing, I would always, you know, carefully flatten myself against the wall. But I found that almost always those people wanted to talk, wanted to say, look, this is what's happened. This is who I am. This is who this person is. And so it's a different dynamic.
What do you hope people will take away from your novel?
I wanted to describe the confusion and the welter and the aftermath of some of these debates of us and them and terrorist and East and West and Islam and all of that. I wanted to give a fuller picture, to come at it from lots of different points of view. And the book is many peopled and many viewpointed. And so I wanted to describe a bit of that richness and complexity. But I think I also want people to find themselves, you know, challenged, or an assumption they might have had being subverted, or thinking about things in a different way, or cocking their head to one side and thinking, I hadn't thought of it like that. I did used to think like that person, but actually now I see the counter-argument, or now I see a kind of consequence. I wanted it to sort of feel at one point, at the same time as it seems quite exotic and quite violent, because a lot of it's set in the Middle East against all the kind of roiling wars and conflagrations, and the other sense a little bit familiar, because these are conversations and debates that we're all having all the time, every time there's another attack. So I kind of wanted to drop the reader into that.
Wendell Stevenson's debut novel is called Paris Metro. Thanks for coming in to speak to us.
Thank you very much for having me.